session number 8730304.
Dear Mr. Ilfour.
Yes, the luck that had been following me since the sinking of the Repulse seemed to continue. For not having been long out of the harbour of Sumatra, we were picked up by an Indian hospital ship. And we're safely on our way to Colombo. It was here sometime later that I was hauled on a stretcher onto the jetty of Colombo Harbour to await transportation to what I believed should have been the Royal Naval Hospital at Colombo. But through some reason, which I still am not certain, an officer of the Royal Naval attachment that was at the harbour approached and asked me for my passbook. I explained to him that it was lost at sea on the sinking of the Repulse. And he immediately walked away and said that I should have hung on to the passbook, and he couldn't take me to the Naval Hospital. Some 10 minutes had passed when a number of Australian Army personnel that had been on the hospital ship found out about this incident, and with their colonel took me to their hospital, which is an Australian Army hospital in a place called, I believe, Wellisarra, some 5, maybe 10 miles away from Colombo. Here I was given some wonderful attention . But first of all, I was to be given clothing and washed and finally weighed. My weight at that time was 5 stone 10 pounds. They did everything possible, in counting the times they brought either tea, cocoa, or the various foods they gave me. I think I had approximately 10 times a day of visits from the nurses, each bringing food. And over a period of 6 weeks, I had gained quite a bit of weight and was now able to just about stand. I made a request through the colonel, who in his light-hearted way mentioned I should come back with them to Australia, as they were all leaving this hospital to go home. I mentioned that I would like to go back to the Royal Naval Barracks if they had any information regarding my arrival at Colombo. And in due course, an officer arrived, and I was taken back to the naval barracks at Colombo. Here, by accident, I saw an officer who passed several remarks regarding my injuries and stated that I should be back on duty in a very short time. Many a time I think if I had his confidence, I'd have entered. It happened that I saluted him, and as I left his office, the Rear Admiral Surgeon came down and passed me and stopped. And his words were, "Good God, what happened to you?" I said, "I was on the repulsor. I'm a survivor, and I've been told that I should be reporting back for duty in a very short time." He took me into a room and he stated I was to be moved to a hospital and given full attention in a place called Bandarawala, this being about 150 odd miles north of Colombo. Here I was given attention for what it was worth. The cleaning of my wounds in my leg, the redressing of my hands, the bandages of my hands, and was allowed to exercise myself and was given information that immediately I could stand and walk a distance of so many yards that they would be sending me back to Great Britain, where I should receive full medical attention, which was unavailable in Ceylon. Time was undoubtedly going on. April, May, by now the Hermes had been lost at sea. The Japanese had even come over so far as Ceylon to try and bomb Ceylon. But fortunately, the British RAF were now ready and awaiting these planes, and quite an air battle took place off the shores of Ceylon during the months of April and May, and it ended as it started, without Ceylon being scarred by any bombs. But the purpose was for the invasion of Ceylon like the invasion of Singapore. I was still at Singapore, at Ceylon, when a doctor advised me now to get back to Colombo and to meet a senior surgeons down there who would tell me whether I should be going home or no. Well, this happened, and I was put onto a troop ship which left Colombo for the ports in India. We stopped in Bombay in India, and from Bombay we headed due south to arrive at Cape Town. Cape Town is a city which I still look upon as a beautiful city. Its politics, well, that's to be spoken about, but the city is undoubtedly one of the most beautiful. And its people, in the summer of 1942, gave me and the countless lads who were aboard this troop ship a welcome that I could never forget. They made me feel proud that I was not only British, but they made me feel that Britain had its friends round the world, not only in one part. And I was part of that complement of Britishers. It was now about 6 days we stayed in Cape Town. Gifts were given to us. I never had to pay for anything, not that I could, because up until this day in June of 42, money was something that I had nothing to do with. The hospitals looked after me, and that was it. And we left Cape Town to take our run across the South Atlantic towards the area of South America. The course being taken to avoid the U-boats, which were still heavy in the area. And we followed the coastline up around South America, the America itself, and towards Canada. And to come back over the North Atlantic run, which took quite a considerable time, to land in the area of Glasgow. One other story became another part of my life was that before our arrival at Glasgow, a yellow flag was flown from the mast of this troop ship that I stayed on. Up until that moment, I had been in this hospital section of this troop ship. I had never made any contact with anyone regarding walking the decks and speaking with people. I couldn't. I was still in this bed due to my leg injuries. But the day before we arrived at Glasgow, this yellow flag was giving us a warning that there was a fever aboard this ship. And on finding out, we were told that one of the officers who worked on this troop ship had died of smallpox. Well, the surgeon came round and said, "There's no need for you lads to worry." There was approximately 12 of us in this ward on this hospital ship, on this ship, troop ship. "No need for you lads to worry. You haven't made contact with anyone, so as soon as we get you ashore, you can go to your hospitals. You'll be directed to them according to your service." We had the Army, the Navy and the Air Force lads on the ship coming back. Through some slip up, which usually occurs in every part of life, the body of this young man, this officer, was taken by ambulance to a place of rest. But the slip up occurred is that the same ambulance, not that we knew at the time, came back to the jetty and picked up the 12 members that were in this ward aboard the troop ship. We were taken inside this ambulance and we were made off through the outskirts of Glasgow to what became an isolation hospital. This was something of such a surprise that when we tried to make inquiries, one lad just tapped on the window only to see two doctors outside with their masks on, and they were standing well back, trying to explain to us that through an accident that we'd been taken in the same ambulance as the dead body had been some hour or so before, which meant, according to them, to these doctors, that we were now smallpox contacts. Something new in the way that my luck had been running over the last 9 months. Here was a place out in the country outside Glasgow where corrugated zinc housing had been allocated to us. We sat down while two doctors came around and gave us the necessary smallpox injections. The nurses who came to see us were all volunteers, knowing full well the consequences of what this disease could bring them. This was within hours of us reaching Glasgow. Within a day of the 12 that were in this ward, 3 of them were taken quite ill and were transferred to the next corrugated building, which is some yards away. By the following morning, the 3 had died from smallpox. Here I was now quite concerned. I couldn't write owing to my hands, and even if I could have written, the letters would not have been allowed out, as I was among the contacts of this disease. But for 3 weeks of isolation, the 9 of us were considered by the authorities to now be clean, having not shown any effects of this ailment. And through a custom which undoubtedly would still and must still exist today should there be another ailment like that, is that we were to be completely stripped of our clothing, to walk a distance with a towel around us through a field, and at the edge of the field to be dipped like a sheep into disinfectant, into a bath. And the other side of this bath was a number of nurses and doctors awaiting us with clean clothing, where we were taken for another 3 weeks to another isolation part of a hospital, this time known as the clean part. And for that period of 6 weeks, our tensions undoubtedly must have been rather high, and yet we came through it with flying colours, because we were allowed finally to be transferred to the general hospitals throughout the country.